Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Okay, let's get ready for the continuation of our gospel basic study and begin with a word of prayer. And after last lesson, where we talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith in the Holy Spirit, you now have a better understanding of the power of prayer and the importance of this prayer time. This is not a ritualistic prayer. It's a very important time of prayer from your study last time. And so it's time, a few moments of silence here, it's time to check yourself, see if you're trusting in the Spirit to teach you the truth of Scripture. And so let's begin with a word of prayer. If you just check yourself out and be in prayer to the Holy Spirit, we'll open our eyes to the things He'd have us to see this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity we have to come together, open the text, and see the things that You would have us to see, Father. We pray that Your Spirit will open our eyes to these things, cause us to know them, understand them, remember them. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we have looked at the gospel for the non-Christian, and then we looked at the gospel for the Christian. And we noted that everyone will use the word gospel, but not everyone means the same thing, and few are in line with what the Bible has to say about the word gospel. That's why very quickly, in the first letter, probably the first letter Paul wrote in Galatians, we saw that they had already distorted and perverted the gospel for another gospel. So it's very important that you not only listen to someone that you're listening to speaking and talking with even, that they say the word gospel. You want to know what they mean by it. Well, today we're going to look at another word that is used by nearly everyone. And again, not everyone means the same thing. And again, few are in line with what the biblical truth is. And that's the concept of grace. Yet correctly understanding this word is essential to your eternal life salvation, as we saw, to your being filled with the Holy Spirit, living the Christian way of life or the Spirit-filled life. So again, not only do you want to know and listen for the word grace, but you need to know what does the person have in mind when they say grace. Because not everyone agrees with what grace specifically is in the Bible. Now, books are written on the subject of grace. There are several books. Lewis Berry Chafer has an excellent book on grace. And there are several of these books out there, whole books written, entire books written on the subject grace. We're going to cover some highlights of grace in our study. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to begin with a simple definition from the Bible, of all places. For we're going to go and understand what grace is. If you'll turn in those Bibles that you have to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 6. Verse 6. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. So if it is by grace, in the Greek, this should be translated. The Greek, but if it is by grace. And what we should do is really say, since. This is a first class condition. It doesn't got if, but since. Since it is by grace is the best way of translating the Greek here. The Greek grammar presents this as a fact, not a supposition. Now, see that word it? What does that it refer to? It is our salvation and preservation and any blessing that we might receive from God. Since it is by grace, the Greek word for grace is the beautiful word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S in the Greek, and it is undeserved kindness. Since it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Now, what man considers works is not what God considers works. Often, When man says works, doesn't mean that God says when he says works. So we have to understand what God means when he says works. They're not the same. The word works is in direct opposition to grace. So we need to have a correct understanding of this word. Not only do we need to understand grace, we need to understand what does the Bible mean when it talks about works. Almost everyone has some works in their gospel, which nullifies their gospel. It's not a gospel. On how to be saved, how to be filled with the Spirit, how to recover from sin. And they claim that theirs is not works. Nearly everyone has something that you got to do to be saved, to be filled with the Spirit, other than simple faith. But that's ours as it works. Theirs is works, but not ours. Works are anything we do other than trusting in the one he sent. That's a work. Anything other than faith is works. In fact, Paul says, if it is not of faith, it is sin. So work is the very opposite of grace. Work is always an assault on simple faith. Works are anything that you add to simple faith. Works are anything other than simple faith in a member of the Godhead in order to receive a blessing from God. Salvation 1, eternal life salvation, spirituality, blessings in life. You add anything other than faith, it is works. Now, we've talked about faith almost from the first introduction to all of this, to this series. And next hour, we'll spend the time looking at faith. In just 1 hour, I know that's not much, but we're going to look at faith next hour. Now, to continue our grasping of the definition of faith, we have the Romans 11 definition. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer works. Now, what you want to do is now we want to look at Romans 4, continuing letting the Bible define grace for us. So Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor or grace, but what is due. Okay, here the great problem is the Greek word for works, the one who works, to do, works here to do that which something results. Now to the one who works, the word, the Greek word means to do something in which something results. In other words, the workman's works in order to earn wages. Probably you go to work. Why do you go to work? Some of us may really love our work, but others don't. But why do we go to work? To receive a wage. Why are you repenting? Why are you inviting Jesus into your heart? Why are you confessing? Why are you making him Lord? Why indeed? Well, if you answer to receive a blessing from God, to receive eternal life from God, to be saved from God, to be spiritual before God, well, then that's a work according to God. You're doing something, expecting something in return. Now to the one who works, who does something to earn from God, something other than simple faith. And what does the workman expect? Wages. So look what it says. His wage. His wage is not reckoned as a favor. So there we have the wages. A wage, what is due for work, for gain, payment, compensation. Those are all Greek definitions of the word wage. Due, what is due, pay, work, gain, wages, payment, compensation. You do something for God, you expect something back from God. His wage is not reckoned. It's a good old southern word. It means given, or credited, recognized, be another word. Now to the one who works, expecting payment, his wage, his payment, his compensation is not reckoned, is not considered, not recognized as grace, but what is due. What is due? See, that word favor is our word charis. It's the word grace. I don't know why they changed the translation in the New American Standard, but they did. And it should be translated grace. It is not, and it would be much more powerful. It is not reckoned as grace. See? And then it says, but what is due? What is due? The word due in the King James, if you have the King James, it says debt. The NIV says obligation. The New American Standard says what is due. All three of these translations are penetrating the issue of works. And by the way, we'll talk about translations of the Bible before we finish this study. Some of you may want to know about which translation to get and all of that and why. So we'll deal with that, but not this morning. All right, so here, when you do something, anything, other than simple faith, and expect to be saved, expect to be filled with the Spirit, restored from sin, a blessing from God, that's works according to God. See? We do not make Him owe us anything, people. You got to understand that. You don't make God owe you anything. Under grace, God does not owe us. God is not indebted to us. God is not obligated to save us. This is the arrogance of works. Grace appeals to our humbleness, our thanksgiving. See? You have to be humble to walk by faith, not arrogant. Arrogant says, I have to do something for God. I have to repent. I have to invite. I have to make Him Lord. I have to change my way of living. I have to be baptized. I have to do something. That's arrogance. You have to be humble. I can't do anything. I just trust Him. Works appeals to our arrogance. I did something, so now God owes me. If a sinner earned salvation by good works, God would be indebted to man and obligated to give it to him. It would not be by grace. It would be by works. And man would not need to thank God for saving him. Wouldn't have an attitude of thanking. You know, when you receive your paycheck, you may, under certain circumstances, say thank you to your employer for giving you the money, maybe as a personal job, and they paid you. But you don't have to. You did the work, they owe you. Now, out of common courtesy, sometimes we say thank you. But you don't have to. You work for that. So, under works, you're not obligated to say thank you to God and praise God. Now, if God saves because we invite Jesus into our heart, or accept Him, or repent, or confess, wake Him Lord, walk an aisle, do something, then He owes us. And it's no longer on the basis of grace. I hope you're seeing what grace is. But if the sinner does not perform any works, moral or religious or otherwise, but simply trust in the one God sent, Jesus Christ for eternal life, that's grace. So the more you work, the deeper in debt you go. This is God's economy. This is the grace economy. Now, let's take a look. Romans 4, 3 and 4. For what does the Scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as grace, but what is due. So we here from the beginning to understand what grace is, and I hope what works is. Now, Next principle. Under the grace system, the harder you work for something from God, the harder you work for salvation, for spiritual recovery, for blessings from God, the deeper in debt you go. Next. Okay, if it's not by works, we don't do anything, how do we receive a blessing from God? That's a good question. There's nothing you can do to be saved before God. Well then, how can I be saved before God? As an unbeliever, how are we saved then? As a believer, how am I restored when I do sin? How do I live the Christian way of life? By faith. And faith is the only act that appropriates the grace of God. Look at Romans 4:16. Romans 4:16. For this reason, it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. You see? The Bible is so clear on all of this. It's amazing how many people, preachers, theologians, are so fouled up on this understanding of grace. That's why I encourage you, you don't just listen for someone using that word. You need to know what they mean by that word when they use it. Faith is the only act that appropriates the grace of God. It is so vital that you're saved for that you know that you're saved by grace through faith, because your salvation is going to set the pattern for restoration from sin. It's going to set the pattern for blessings from God. It's going to set the pattern for living the Christian life. Okay? Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Now, we've looked at some of this, but let's look at it again in this study. Each time we look at some of these passages that we may have looked at before, we would do it for a different reason. Now, here we're going to start with verse 5 that we didn't note before. Now, verse 5. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, that says we were unbelievers, made us alive, that is, God made us alive, together with Christ. And then, a very important statement, for by grace you have been saved. Now, of course, we have the familiar verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Grace is unmerited favor from God. Grace is the divine method, the divine system for dealing with man. Grace, you want to just understand all these concepts that we're dealing with grace. Under grace, God does not treat man as we deserve to be treated, as sinners, as spiritually dead, but he offers freely his salvation by grace. The only way to enter into relationship with God, either as an unbeliever or as a believer, is to receive what he has already done. What Christ did on the cross. It can be received or it can be rejected. But it cannot be bought and it cannot be gained by something that you do. And the only way to receive this from God is by faith in Jesus Christ. So we have Ephesians 2:5 and Ephesians 2:8. Now, you cannot do good enough, you cannot be good enough to earn salvation from God. Don't even try it. You can't do it. That's why he gave the law. Or if you want to try to do it, here's the law, but you got to keep every aspect of the law. You can't fail in one aspect of the law. If someone says you're saved or filled with the Holy Spirit or receive some blessing from God because you do something, people, it's a false gospel. It's not grace. It's a false gospel. They've perverted, distorted the gospel from our study last week in Galatians chapter 1. If you're saved because you repent or confess or baptize or invite Jesus into your heart, make Him Lord, join a church, be moral, feel sorry for your sins, on and on and on, obey the Ten Commandments or try to, all these are works then. A simple way of seeing this is by understanding a little bit about verbs. You can have an active verb. An active verb describes what you do. I repented. I confessed. I made Him Lord. I invited Him into my heart. I was baptized. I did this. I walked an aisle. Whatever it may be. As opposed to a passive verb, which says, I received salvation by faith. Faith is a passive verb, as we'll see next week. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. You do not earn nor deserve this gift. It's a free gift of God. I love Christmas time because we generally receive and give gifts, and it's nothing because of what you did. It's because somebody else was born. It's because Jesus Christ was born that you and I receive a gift. So this is what you want to teach your children in regard to Christmas. Now, this presents a question that I've been asked. Since things like this are not taught in the Bible about the gospel, salvation by works and all this, why are they so popular? Why are they so popular with preachers and churches? And, all right, let's just now begin to understand why you can't invite Jesus into your heart to be saved, or you can't make Him Lord to be saved, you can't obey the Ten Commandments to be saved, and you can't do that. Why are these things so popular? Well, one reason is because these appeal to the basic instinct of man. The basic instinct of mankind is not sex, regardless of what Hollywood would have you believe. It's performance. To perform and then to be rewarded for performance. Think back when you were in school. But I tried so hard on this test. I studied and I studied. We want to be rewarded for all that study. What do you mean a C on this 20-page paper? I worked on this paper. I didn't copy it out of the encyclopedia. I worked on it. See, we want to be rewarded for our work. Well, it's the same thing in the spiritual realm. These things are so appealing. All these works are so appealing because they appeal to our basic instinct. To do, to perform, and then to be rewarded from God for doing them by God. Salvation or restoration from sin as believers is our instinct to do something for God so that God will bless us. Unfortunately, many parents rule their children this way. You're good, good things and nice things happen. You're bad, bad things happen. Well, that's the way God must work. So, if I'm real good to God, then God will be good to me. Faith is not only in opposition to works. Faith is in opposition to our basic instinct. That's why it's so difficult for people to be saved by faith alone and to live by faith alone and to understand faith alone, because it's opposed to our basic instinct. Our basic instinct says, no, I have to earn this. I have to work. So when someone comes along and teaches in a church or denomination or movement that you have to do and do, the Isaiah 28 that we studied, this appeals to us. Ah, that's what I have to do. Ah, that's it. I've been doing it wrong. Now I got it. Because we want to do. People, grace is what God is free to do to us, for us without any cooperation on our part other than simply receiving it by faith. He has provided without any merit on our part. Grace cannot be earned nor deserved. Our eternal life salvation set the pattern for all dealings with God. If we correctly understand how we are eternally saved, then we'll begin to understand how to be filled with the Spirit that we studied last week, how to receive blessings from God. This is why it is so vital to correctly understand how you were saved as an unbeliever. Undeserved grace. Alright, Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 6 and 7. to the praise and of the glory of His grace. See, once you truly see and understand grace, you'll be motivated to thank Him. You'll be motivated to praise Him for His grace. While, which He freely bestowed on us, the beloved, in the beloved, that is in Jesus Christ. Now, verse 7, in Him, that is in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood. The word blood, as we've already seen, refers to the saving work of Christ on the cross, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, not according to anything we did. By the way, do you realize that Christianity is the only thing out there that has the total forgiveness of sins? No religion does that. No religion does that. Only Christianity takes care of the sin problem completely by the work of Christ on the cross. Grace is all that God is free to give us because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Not only because we, not because we deserve it, but because it is given to us when we believe in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, someone has come up with a little thing on grace. Just thought you might want to put it somewhere and bear it in mind. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. God's great riches at Christ's expense. Multitudes of people and large denominations are so wrong and understanding simple grace. And they say grace is when I do something and God saves me, that's grace. No, that's not grace. When I do something and God forgives me and restores me to the filling of the Spirit, that's grace. No, that's not grace. Got to understand what grace is and how they're wrong on that. That is not what grace is. And a very beautiful little thing that I worked up that we've seen before, but let's take it now in this context, and that is, I, God, will do for you if you do for me. That's a promise. Trust me. Now, this verse is, I, God, have done for you. That's a promise. Trust me. See the difference? In the first proposition, people only differ. They don't differ in their view of God. Their view of God, I, God, will do for you if you do for me. They all worship the same God, and their God is a God they have to do something for. Whereas the second proposition, which is the true one, I, God, have done for you, it's a promise, trust me, this is a true God. This is a God you don't work for. He already provides everything. And as I said, only thing on that first one that people disagree, they don't disagree on the on their view of God. No, God you have to do something for. What they disagree on is what you've got to do. And there are about five major momentums going with different denominations, churches, and movements. One is morality. I am good for God. Another is religion or legalism. I do for God. Another is knowledge. I learn about God for God. Another is emotionalism. I am emotional about God. And the final one is service. I serve God by serving man. I may even sacrifice my husband, my wife, my family, but I'm serving God. No, you're not. No, you're not. Your first service is in your home. Then outside. But so what people will do, they'll move. Sometimes a person will be in a moral type of momentum where you got to be moral for God. And then they move to knowledge. Oh, this is it. I found it. This is the truth. Learning about God. No, you've just made a horizontal movement. You've not made a vertical movement. You haven't changed your view of God. You've just changed what you got to do for God. Somebody may have been in knowledge and studied and studied and studied the Word of God, and then they got involved in emotionalism, and, oh, this is it. See, it's just the opposite. This is it. Now I'm there. No, you just made a horizontal move again. You've not made a vertical move in just trusting the one that God has sent. You've not moved in that direction. So how much of all of these things and that people get involved in, and the first proposition, a God you have to work for, second proposition, a God that you do not work for, you simply believe. There are multitudes with a false, non-biblical understanding of grace. They claim to be doing grace through the Bible. But it's not God. It's not God's view of grace, people. I'm doing this for God. God saves me. I'm being moral. I'm learning. I'm doing all of these things for God. I'm serving God. I'm emoting for God. People, that's works. If you're earning something from God on that basis, here's what most people have the idea. If I do this or that, then I trust God to save me or restore me or bless me. And that's grace. That's not grace. And I hope you can understand that. That is not grace. This is you doing something and God blessing you on the basis of what you did. Faith is simply trusting in the one that God has sent. Faith alone in Christ alone is the faith that God is looking for. And as I said, next week we'll take just a one quick look at faith. That's another subject that books are written about, as is grace. But under this they have their list. Do and do, do and do, from Isaiah 28. Under grace, you're minus a list. No competition. We're all saved by grace. The law condemns. Grace saves. The law condemns. Why the law depends on you. That's why it condemns. It depends on you. And we can't obey the whole law. Grace saves. Why? Because grace depends on God. See, the law, doing your list, depends on you. Grace depends on God. Okay, let's summarize these things in closing. And as I said, books are written on the subject of grace. And it's a Herculean task, I guess, to try to do it in just one class. But I just want to give you an understanding of grace as you continue in your spiritual journey and whatever church you find to go to or whatever you do to learn to study the Bible. So that's what this series is about. Okay, so point one. Grace is the one-word summary of God's plan for the human race. God's plan is perfect because God is perfect. If man can do anything in God's plan, it is no longer a perfect plan. Grace is made void if man can save himself or do anything to be spiritual other than faith. Grace is all that God can do and will do and has done for mankind in Christ. See, when you do and do and do, it's not based on Christ, it's based on what you do. When you live by grace, that's based on Christ. Don't say, oh, well, I'm doing this for Christ. That's not what we're saying. Based on it. Grace is based on Christ and His work. Works is based on you. So grace is all that God can do and will do and has done for you, for mankind in Christ. Salvation, filling of the Holy Spirit, is not a corporation where man does his part and God does his part. Grace is where God does it all. And boy, that's just a very beautiful sounding statement. God does it all. All I have to do is trust Him. That's a very beautiful statement. Point two. Under grace, God does all the planning. God does all the work. Now, what's the important thing here? We studied in Isaiah 28, a little here and a little there. See, you have to go search when you do it by works. Am I doing enough works? Am I doing the right works? So I'll study over here. Well, somebody says I had to do that, so you go there. Somebody else says you have to do this, so I'll do that. Somebody else says you have to do this ritual, so I'll do that. You've got to do a lot of work. You got to do a lot of work if you want to be saved by works. You got to do a lot of work to find out what works you have to do. Then you got to do a lot of works in doing those works. See? But under grace, God does all the planning. God does all the work. Isn't that wonderful? See, for us lazy people, that's the way to do it. This is great. For us lazy people, grace is wonderful. I'll just sit back and let God do all the work, and I'll trust in His Son, and you're saved forever. I'll trust His Spirit and restore it from sin. I can't do anything about my lost condition. I can't do anything about my sin. I feel sorry. I try to go talk to people, do all that. It's too much work. God does all the work, all the planning. All man has to do, all man can do, is to accept God's work, and this acceptance is by faith alone. The absence of all human merit or human works. God blesses on the basis of His character, what He has done, never on the character of mankind, and thank God for that, and never on the basis of something that man may do, other than simple faith. We are saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 5 and 8. We are justified by grace. Romans 3, 23. We are redeemed by grace. Romans 3, 24. See, it's God's plan. God's got it all worked out. God's taking, you don't even know all the problems. You try to work out your salvation and do all this work and figure, you don't even know all the problems. Not only is there the life problem, how are you going to get the life of God? Not only is there the righteous problem, how are you going to have the righteousness of God? There's all these problems, justification, redemption, propitiation. You can't even figure it all out. God's figured it all out. Done all the work, provided everything, provided salvation, spirituality, spirit-filled life, Christian way of life, by grace, through faith. Okay? Let's go to point three. Grace always depends on the character of God. This is regardless of the category of grace. Regardless of its area in our lives. See? It may be for salvation, eternal life salvation. It may be for spirituality. And that includes simple little sins, real big sins, all of that, no matter the occasion. And it may be in your life, blessings in life. Whatever the occasion, whatever the circumstances. See, grace never depends on man. Grace starts with God. Grace never depends on you doing anything for Him. Isn't that wonderful? It just sounds so wonderful to me. See? He does it all. He does it all and offers it to man on the basis of grace through faith. All right, that brings us to point four. Grace is the work of God on behalf of man, apart from man's ability, apart from man's merits, apart from man's works. We do not earn God's grace. Remember, you do not make Him indebted to you. All right, we're moving right along. Point five. Grace, the grace of God, is completely dependent upon the gracious gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. The gracious gift of His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. From the gift of His Son, we have the gift of perfect righteousness imputed to us. From the gift of His Spirit, we have spirituality. See? God knows all of these things. You and I can't think of all these things. God's already thought of all of them and worked them all out. But always remember, Grace starts at the cross. This is true from God's perspective, and it must be true from man's perspective. Please listen. All blessings are because of the work, cross work of Christ, of Jesus Christ. The blessing of your salvation, your spirituality, blessings in life, eternal life, blessings in eternity. They're all on the basis of the work of Christ on the cross. And they are all received by faith alone, not by anything you do. This is such a wonderful, beautiful plan that God's worked out. If you begin to grasp this, you will have little trouble with grace, way of recovery from sin, the grace way of receiving blessings in life. Many people believe that you have to, for example, many people believe you have to tithe to receive blessings from God. That's a work system, not a grace system. And then when you do a work system, you can always tell. Have you done enough? You're doing it right? Like one of the big battles in the tithing issue is it before taxes or after taxes? I have fun with all my friends who are really heavy on that. Now, wait a minute. Let me understand this. Is this before taxes or after taxes? Well, it's after taxes. Oh, well, wait a minute. You earned this whole amount, and I just have fun with them. How good are you going to be? You're going to try to do it all by works. See? I saved by not sinning. Oh, let's see. You just talked about some other believer. Well, I was just... No, you gossiped. You maligned. Well, that's not a... No, that's a sin before God. See, we got to... If you go by the law, if you go by do, you got a lot of issues. You got a lot of questions. You do it by grace, there's no question. Just believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and you're saved. Just believe in the Holy Spirit as a believer and you're filled with the Spirit. It's that simple. See, God made it very simple for people like me. He wants it very simple. I like things very simple. I don't like the complex. And God said, okay, for you simple people, I'm going to make my salvation, my spirituality, my blessings very simple. Now, it's going to confuse the deep thinkers. It's going to confuse those who like to think all this stuff through and work it all out. But God's way is very simple, very, very gracious. See? So, you just got to understand. If you grasp this, you'll understand all these wonderful truths and that are given to us in the Scriptures. Okay? If you correctly understand grace, then you can listen to whatever anyone says and be guarded from a works system of blessings from God. Now, let me be very careful here. I'm not saying you are anyone's judge. You go to a church, you listen to someone on TV, you read a book, you're not sitting there as their judge. Please understand that. What you're doing is listening to what they're saying. And if you have the correct ruler in your soul, and that ruler is the ruler of salvation is by grace alone and in Christ alone, the faith in Christ alone, spirituality is by grace alone, faith in the Holy Spirit, and somebody says, no, you got to do this and this, you go, wait a minute. That doesn't line up with what the Bible teaches. That doesn't line up with the grace of God. So it gives you something to listen to what people are saying. All grace starts at the cross. Why? Because of the cross work of Jesus Christ and His resurrection, God is now free to extend grace to mankind. He's now free. Now that presents a question. What do I mean when I say God is free? I don't want to just throw out these phrases to you. I want you to think about them. What do I mean? Well, remember that question in Job? Does God pervert justice? Does the Almighty pervert what is right? Remember that? Okay. If God saves or blesses anyone outside of the cross work of Christ alone, then he would pervert his own essence of justice and righteousness. That's what that, while we study those 10 questions of Job, they're vital for the understanding of the whole Bible. If I did this again, I would make the 10 questions of Job the first study, rather than the second study. And then I would go to the Isaiah 28 and show why there are different views on the answer to these questions. But that's history. I'll learn as I go along. But what I want you to see is how important these questions are. And the flow of them. And what we need to grasp in all of this. Okay? That brings us to point six. Point six. Because of the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection, God can now offer salvation by grace through faith. See how all these verses work now? All that's involved. We start off with a verse, you're saved by grace through faith. But now you begin to grasp, why is that happening? Why is that possible? For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Beautiful verse, but now I hope you're beginning to see some of the richness of it. Some of the depth that goes behind God's grace. You did not suffer on the cross, people. You did not suffer on the cross for your sins. And you cannot do anything that will be equal to his suffering. Understand that. Just think, when you try to offer God your works, you're saying, God, take my works along with or instead of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Even along with. No, people, you can't suffer for your sins. Only God did that. Stop trying to offer God something you do and receive all that God, from God, by grace, through simple faith, people. Brings us to point seven. Grace starts at the cross. How many times am I going to say that? I know that's what you're thinking. But it's so fundamental. When people say you've got to invite him into your heart, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, they're starting with themselves. When you say it's by faith in Jesus Christ, you're starting with Jesus Christ. I'm just helping you lay a good foundation for grasping what grace is and why grace. So point seven, grace starts at the cross. It is from God's perspective and from ours. This means that blessings from God begin at the cross for you. All blessings from God begin with you believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. All blessings begin with you believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Being a born-again believer, possessing the righteousness of God, which you recall you received by faith alone in Christ alone. You must be a believer in Jesus Christ. Now God can bless you. See? So all blessings are going to start there. Just to give you a quick one if you're familiar. Abraham, the first blessing to Abraham was imputed righteousness by faith. Then came the Abrahamic covenant. Then came the promise of the Jewish race. Then came the blessing to all the nations. Then came circumcision. Then came all these other things. But it all started at the cross. And that's where it all starts with us. The first blessing that comes to any person at the moment you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior is God giving you some 34 things. Now, I'm just mentioning that. Lewis Berry Chafer, who I've mentioned before, founder and first president of Dallas Theological Seminary, who, as you recall, did our study that we studied on how to be filled with the Spirit by grace to faith, and those points that we took up. And he also came up with 34 things that every believer receives at the point of faith in Jesus Christ. And the first blessing of your salvation was imputed righteousness, then justification. Now you're saved. Now you're ready to for God to keep on blessing you. See, your salvation sets the pattern for all blessings, spirituality, blessings in life, blessings in eternity. That's why it's so vital, people, that we correctly understand how are we saved eternally. We do not earn nor deserve anything from God. Any blessings from God, they're given to us by grace. All right? Brings us to point eight. Religion and legalism are in opposition with grace. Grace is opposed to the law. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. You're not under the law, people. You're under grace. Grace is opposed to works. Grace is opposed to religion. Grace is opposed to legalism. Grace is only compatible with faith. Grace is the one thing that Satan does not understand, nor does anyone involved in religion or legalism. They think they understand grace, but as we've seen, if you add any works, it's not grace. Under religion and legalism, man has to do something for God. So remember the difference between Christianity and religion. Religion is man doing something for God. Christianity is God doing everything for man. It's a basic difference when you hear those words. Religion is where I have to do something for God. Christianity is where God does everything for me. Brings us to point nine. Grace demands total confidence in God. What is grace? What is faith? Right? As we'll see next week, total confidence in God. Therefore, when you add anything to faith, it nullifies grace. Add anything to faith, it nullifies grace. Total confidence in God. Faith alone in eternal life salvation. Total confidence in God for spirituality. Total confidence in God for living the Christian way of life. When I say spirituality, I mean being in the filling of the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the leading of the Holy Spirit, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, the divine nine, fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we walk by faith, not by sight. When you do something for God, see, you're walking by sight. Well, I see. I invited him into my heart. I see. I made him Lord. I was baptized. That's walking by sight. Walking by faith is, I just trust him. Where's your proof? Don't have any. Proofs in my soul. Proofs in the character of God. Proofs in the faithfulness of God. See? This is so powerful. So this is so important that we grasp and understand these things in life. That brings us to point 10. Point 10. Grace always depends completely on God's provision. Not you doing something. It depends on God's provision. Who and what God is. And what God provides. Never on what I can do. The more you work, do and do, the deeper in debt you go. So grace always depends completely on God's provision. People, we grow up in a whole environment opposed to grace. Our whole educational system. Got to study. Got to make a certain grade. Some people make A's. Some people make B's. Always admire those people. Some people make C's. Some people make D's. Some of them don't make it. See? And if you study hard and you work hard and you're rewarded for it. And so we think this is God. This is not God. That's why I'm trying to see, that you see that grace is totally opposed to our basic instinct. Where I perform and God delivers. I'm good, I get an A from God. I'm bad, I get an F from God. I get spanked, I did that. People, please, please, when you come to grace, you got to lay aside your basic instinct. And remember, it's simply by faith. in Jesus Christ. Brings us to point 11. We're saved by grace. We're restored to the filling of the Holy Spirit by grace. We live by the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." See, you've got to be humble. Recognize your weakness. "Most gladly, therefore," Paul says, "I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ," that's the Holy Spirit, "may dwell in me." Now, the first thing you want to recognize here, first thing we have to do is recognize our weakness to be saved eternally. "I can't do anything for you, God. If you don't save me, I'm lost. I'm headed for a lake of fire forever. I'm headed to eternal separation from you. There's nothing I can do, and I know it. I'm not arrogant. I know I can't be good enough. My goodness, I can't even be good enough for my own mother throughout a day. How am I going to be good enough for you throughout my life? I can't do it." You've got to recognize your weakness. "And Father, I know I'm going to sin as a believer. I know that. I know I'm going to sin. And the only way I'm going to get out of that sin problem is you do it through the power of your Spirit. I know that. I'm totally dependent on your grace." To recognize His grace, you have to be humble. And recognize your weakness. You have to recognize your weakness. Again, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, point 12 is the crescendo. Point 12 is a crescendo. Up to this point, I've been talking about you and grace. Now, point 12, grace glorifies God. Grace glorifies God. Works glorify man. Grace glorifies God, not us. Look in your Bibles at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 15. "For all things," that is, all things that God does and provides, "are for you, for your sake, for your benefit." Now look what? "That the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God." See, people, when you live by grace, when you're saved by grace, you're filled with the Spirit by grace, you live by grace, which means simple faith, the only thing compatible with grace, God gets all the glory. You can't say, "But I did this. I did that." No, you get nothing. That's why Ephesians is so powerful here. "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Not of yourselves, not of works, that anyone should boast. Whether you say you boast or not, you can. But grace glorifies God. You want to live your life, glorify God, people? Well, you want to start being saved, giving glory to God. You want to start being filled with the Spirit in a way that glorifies God. And that which glorifies God is that whatever we receive from Him, we receive on the basis of grace by means of faith. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we've quickly gone through one of the most important subjects, doctrines, studies in the Bible, your grace that glorifies you. I pray, Father, your Spirit will take the things that we've seen, let it settle in the heart and the souls of those who listen and meditate on it, think about it, study other passages, study these passages and other passages. Get under a pastor who teaches the truth word by word, verse by verse, Father. And they see more and more, and their eyes just open, open, open. "Oh, now I see, how I understand," more and more. Take a lifetime and two or three of those for us to begin to grasp the glory of your grace. Father, we pray all these things now in your Son's precious name. Amen.